Okay, so the former interim leader of the Umkhonto Viziswe party has not received a favorable response from the Electoral Commission after asking for the removal of Jacob Zuma as the face and president of the MK. When it comes to Jacob Zuma, I'm kind of circumspect. He's wily. He plays chess. He's a really good chess player. So we go to Sanusha Naidu, who understands better than I do. She's our political analyst, and she's going to help us make sense of it. Welcome, Sanusha.
Good morning, Clarence. I hope I'm trying to understand. I feel like I don't understand anything anymore.
Yeah, so I am circumspect. I do think he's wily. I do think he's intelligent. We don't give him enough credit, even with his Standard 3 certificate. And I also know that your performance in the polls is directly commensurate with the kind of media that you generate. So I'm kind of worried. Do you understand my drift? Is he just looking for media attention?
Well, I think, you know, it's part of the theater. It's part of the play. It's how you project the public image. And of course, if you look at the way Jacob Zuma's style of politicking has always been, it's been that kind of very charismatic appeal to the audience. I remember when he was, when he was actually relieved of his position as deputy president over the arms deal. And of course, you know, at the time there was a whole lot of hype and about that, and then of course there was the rape charges that were dropped against him. But he knew how to play that crowd outside, and he plays it very well. I always think that the best analogy for me when I look at Jacob Zuma is the movie the Usual Suspects, and who is the actual mastermind behind everything, who comes across very kind of muted, you know, completely plays this kind of dumbfoundedness. The person that you would least expect to be the mastermind is the mastermind. So I think in many ways it's the way he is able to arouse and rouse the audience and quote, for example, Macbeth. And people say, wow, people say you're uneducated, but you can quote Macbeth verbatim.
No, absolutely. So I'm like wondering if this is, are we witnessing some shenanigans playing out, or is it, you know, what we saw Cope in its early days, the kind of clash of egos there, is it maybe that we're seeing playing out here as well?
You know, it's never easy to deal with personalities of that caliber who are trying to project their power in the party. I would say that, you've got a number of examples. You could argue that, you know, power struggles in political parties are always the Achilles heel of a political party, because its architecture is designed in such a top-down conflictual way that it's always about who actually controls and wrests power from another. I think what's happening with MK is quite interesting. While you draw the analogy of maybe Cope, there are a number of other parties you could draw the analogy on. But I think in the case of MK, it's much more than that. It's a style of politicking that has come in. It's a style in which we have come to know of the way in which this kind of casting aspersions, expelling people. I mean, remember, we had 9 years of Jacob Zuma where we would have midnight cabinet reshuffles and stuff like that. So I think this is part of the modus operandi. But I would go one step further. I mean, looking at what's going on in MK right now, it kind of takes me back to when former general secretary of the ANC was asked to step aside because of his involvement in that asbestos issue and the corruption around there, alleged corruption. Remember what he did? He immediately wrote a letter to President Ramaphosa saying he is recalling him, or he is expelling him, or something to that effect. I mean, this is now the kind of theatrics we are seeing in the MK. And it seems to be quite, for me, it's quite intriguing and bemusing that a similar kind of approach is being played out in the MK. Whether or not Jabulani Khumalo has any traction, I mean, we saw what former President Jacob Zuma's daughter had said in her Twitter post as well. But whether or not this goes into any kind of internal battle and whether he has any traction in this, I think is a different discussion to have. Yeah. But what it does tell you is that this is a party that is not just about what it says it is. There are some real issues around political power struggles, and those political power struggles about who gets to parliament and who's the face of the party.
Yeah, and they're not talking to what the people are asking for. They're not talking to the South Africa that people are demanding. It's like they have the audacity, nearly, that they live in cloud cuckoo land. Is that a conclusion I can make?
Well, I think when you look at the party, you actually realize that the party, and most parties, in my assessment, is most parties or most political parties right now are transactional. It's about what they can actually extract out of the voter in terms of the vote. And then, you know what? After this, it's about us.
It's a salary.
You know,
It's a feeding scheme.
Narcissistic approach about things. It's about me, myself, and I. And I think the point here with the MK is that they have this grievance around how much KZN is not part of the National Executive Committee of the ANC. It's not really in the top echelon structures of the ANC. And that's a serious grievance, because this is the biggest branch of the ANC that goes to elective conference. Secondly, the Luthuli House and the ANC at Luthuli House hasn't really been resolving these issues in the province around this banning of the PEC before the elective conference in 2022. It's been a very difficult, a very conflictual terrain between this tension between headquarters and the province. And so I think that's the one area where they want to push back on. And you know, the narrative is always around, you know, Ramaphosa's ANC, I got unfinished business in union buildings. I mean, it's a very belligerent and aggressive narrative that is projected. And it does talk to a section of the population in KZN, particularly around identity of who actually owns the ANC from an identity perspective. On the other hand, everything else is transactional.
Okay, so you're talking a kind of ethno-nationalist kind of politics.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, that kind of tribalist sectarian, but it's also much deeper than that. I mean, think about it this way. When Jacob Zuma stands on the platform outside court and he talks about a historical narrative of the ANC, he goes back to the point of how the ANC was started and where it was started and how it has a symbolic identity to the AmaZulu people. Mm. So I think in that way, it becomes quite real in terms of the grievance and the kind of a pushback against the Ramaphosa's ANC in terms of how the narrative is structured.
We got it. We appreciate it. We are also out of time. We appreciate your time as always, political analyst, Institute for Global Dialogue, and she wades into matters that are difficult to comprehend politically in this country.